The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
It is the Starting Lineup, hour number three. That is right, Sugar Hill Gang's Apache, Eric Kane. Can we get a little gain on that? So, do you remember having heard this song?
I have heard this song probably, no joke, thousands of times. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it's yes. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they did a dance of this.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Two dudes I grew up with did a dance of this in a talent show in middle school. I mean, every pep rally I've ever attended.
Yes.
As you pointed out.
Yeah.
Yes. It's, I very much know this song. You're right.
If you've ever seen any cheerleader do anything ever, you've heard this song. That's what the Apache and Sugar Hill Gang is. But we need more funk added to the rotation, I think, a little bit here on the starting lineup.
More funk.
More, we want the funk.
We
gotta have that funk. also Atomic Dog, something else to look up at some point in time. Eric Kane, have you seen the news about the possibility of Whataburger coming to the state of Tennessee?
Yes, and it better make its way down here to Cumberland Avenue. I know that we don't know the locales potentially, but I feel like a college town makes a whole lot of sense.
It does make a whole lot of sense.
Yesterday on the Power Poll, Sports 180, John Wilkerson, Heather, and I, we gave out our top five burger chains.
Oh,
and
there you go.
Whataburger was very high on all three of ours.
Okay, that is very solid. I have always made the argument, because there's like Whataburger, In-N-Out, Five Guys, Shake Shack, that always get debated. I gave out my, yesterday on the old Twitter machine, I gave out my hierarchy among those four chains.
Oh, you did?
And I left out Pals, though. I left out
Oh,
Pals.
My gosh!
I know.
So did I. Know.
Because it's not national, that's why.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But man, I have one in Jeff City.
It's right, yes. Legally, I don't think you can leave it out, Kaner. So I think that you're going to get canceled culture.
Like, I know a lot of times, like, we say stuff and we're like, oh, man, I forgot about that. Like, I'm legit, like, I'm hurting for my hometown right now. You know, like, it's like I turned my back on them. Now, it hadn't always been there, but it came when I was in college. It was clutch. But growing up, I mean, I my second home was in Bristol. I have family in Bristol. I lived there two summers, called minor league baseball, all that stuff. And Pals is a staple in the Tri-Cities, obviously. And it made its way down. There was one in Morristown growing up, so that was fun. And then there's one in Jefferson City now. But you're right, it's not nationally known, so kind of forgot about it.
Well, it's never in the national debate about those four chains.
Yeah.
It's never involved in that. So I forgot it because of that.
But Pals, holy crap. That is a good burger.
Yeah, it is. That's a really good burger. The tea's fantastic.
But which one's better? Do you go for the burger or go for the Frenchie fries? And they're called Frenchie fries. I tried to explain to Joel Silverberg one time. He said, why are you calling them Frenchie fries? I'm like, that's what they're called. He's like, no, they're called fries. I'm like, no, they're called Frenchie fries.
Yeah, no, they're called Frenchie fries, Joel Silverberg.
And don't disrespect that.
Get it together. Yeah, that is, no. So I would look at it. So what I've learned about Whataburger, though, is it depends on the Whataburger that you go to. Because we went to a Whataburger in the panhandle of Florida one time, and it was just a trash experience altogether. Of course, John Wilkerson, whenever we go to Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, takes the carload of us like he's loading up the family truckster to Whataburger from the Winfrey Hotel.
He said he has gift cards ready to go for the next voyage. Hey, I'm laughing, but that's smart man.
It is a smart man. But the one that's over in Hoover, Alabama, that's down from the Winfrey Hotel, is a delicious Whataburger, and it's a really good one. But I've had people, like, it was weird, people in the mentions were like, I went to this Whataburger off the interstate in Texas, it was awful. And then somebody that's one of their friends, or that I don't know who they are, they don't even follow me, replying to them, are you drunk? I went to this one outside of Jacksonville that was. So it just depends on the Whataburger that you go to. Do you remember Mark Brunell?
Yes, I do.
Mark Brunell lost most of his money from the NFL by investing in putting Whataburger franchises all over Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. So that he ended up just losing his backside on that.
Well, that's not great.
No, it's not. I did. There's a Whataburger. There's also, you ever, what is it? The tea that's in the, at the grocery store that's in, you don't, Milo's tea.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's
at
the grocery store.
Uh-huh, so yeah, bombing the jugs.
Yeah. So that's actually a burger chain.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't know that, and then I was going to stop at this Whataburger, and they were remodeling the Whataburger that was outside of Birmingham. That went outside of Birmingham. It was right just past Birmingham and Hoover in that area when I was leaving Media Days last year. And I decided to stop at the Whataburger there, so I was going to get one more Whataburger on the way out. And then I ended up, they were remodeling it, so I ended up having to go across the street to the Milo's. That was a solid burger. It wasn't bad.
I've heard good things about Milo's. I never think about it, obviously, because I've never had it. It's not in this area, but I have heard some good things. But I got to tell you, man, every Whataburger experience, like I told them on the show yesterday, I drove down, me, Chandler Emerson and I, 8 hours, down to Jacksonville, Florida, got in about 10 o'clock the night before Tennessee's game against Indiana, didn't go to the hotel, went straight to a Whataburger.
That's right.
The Whataburgers at 3 a.m. in Panama City Beach, clutch.
Yeah, that is absolutely clutch. Yeah, so clutch. Whataburger is, I am a huge fan of the Whataburger. So, in coming back, I will say amongst those chains, I say Whataburger is better than Five Guys, which is better than Shake Shack, which is better than In-N-Out. The one thing that I would point out, though, is there's a lot of people that pointed out some of those chains like that with burgers, that by the time you spend $16 on your meal, you might as well just go to Stock and Barrel.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that's fair. That's very fair.
That's very fair.
That's why, that's another reason why Pals, you run through the drive through on the cheap, man.
Man.
Big guy like me eating for $5, that's not bad.
It was a in college, it was a Sunday tradition. We always went to go get Pals. Also, you and I have talked about this briefly. In-N-Out, so overrated. So overrated.
Well, I want Thousand Island on my fries.
Yeah, like I'm good. I mean, the burgers, it's fine. The front, I went to it for the first time, and I was so excited because I've heard nothing but great things, and I went to it back in February when I was out in that area, and I was like, this is all I've heard about? That's not that impressive.
Yeah, fair enough. It's I tell you what, the next time you go out to Vegas, though, there is still a Carnegie Deli there. Go get a Woody Allen at that Carnegie Deli in Vegas. I'm assuming that they have it at that one, but they closed the one in New York. So the next time you're there, you want a good sandwich, go get a Woody Allen. It's literally $20, and it's for a pastrami and half pastrami, half corned beef sandwich, but it's probably 4 pounds of meat that's on that sandwich, and it's the size of your head.
Sign me up.
You're not going to go to the bathroom for 6 days afterwards.
Yeah, totally. But it's going to be worth it.
It's going to be worth it every single time. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. The greatest free agency moves of all time. We talk about it next. It's the starting lineup on the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee running backs coach Jay Graham has been hit with a 6-month show cause by the NCAA for penalties committed while a member of Jimbo Fisher's staff at Texas A&M. Graham, who has already served minor punishment while still with the Aggies, will be banned from all off-campus recruiting activities for the fall 2020 contact period. Fisher at Texas A&M was also hit with a 6-month show cause as he and Graham had impermissible contact with a recruit back in 2018. Fisher was forced to serve a 9-day ban on phone calls, emails, texts, and with prospects back in January, as was Graham. And Texas A&M was fined $5,000 as a result, placed on probation, and was also found guilty of exceeding activity time limits for multiple weeks in the spring and summer of 2018. A pair of East Tennessee natives are atop the leaderboard following round one of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Oak Ridge native Scott Stallings tied for the lead at 7-under, while Jefferson County High School graduate Peter Malnati is one back of the lead at 6-under. And 9 more ABA players have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing that overall count to 25 players out of a pool of 351 players who have been tested since June 23rd. The league also announced that 10 of the 884 team staff members who have been tested also came up positive for the virus. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. It's 8:16. Good Friday morning, everybody. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Will West, Eric Kane, starting lineup 99.1 The Sports Animal. Tomorrow will be the 244th anniversary of the greatest free agency move of all time, when the United States declared their independence from Great Britain as the Declaration of Independence was ratified and signed. Eric Kane and I have been talking a little bit today about the greatest free agent moves of all time. Let's remove LeBron the decision from the equation. So if I'm taking LeBron off the table for you, and I ask you the question somewhat word association-like, and I say biggest free agent move in sports history, what do you go with next besides LeBron?
Well, there's one that we have not brought up yet this morning, and this is a big one. Barry Bonds to the Giants.
Oh, that is a very good one. That is a very good one.
Is a big one. 6 years, $43 million when he signed that deal. Of course, he was a 30-30 guy with the Pittsburgh Pirates, came to San Fran, started bulking up, and ultimately is now the, technically, he is the home run king in Major League Baseball. So
that is a very, very good one. Another one that I'll point to because of the frustrating nature of it is the Brett Favre free agency. He retire? Won't he retire?
It just got annoying towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, it was, well, a lot of it, too. And some of it, I don't know if it's Brett Favre's fault. And everybody blamed Favre, and people kind of still, to some extent, have a bad taste in their mouth about Favre when that dude was beloved before that. But because of how overexposed it all was, like, you were not turning on ESPN without hearing about Brett Favre. Like, that was kind of when we first learned about resetting topics in the media and trying to gain ratings by doing that. Well, people would look at time spent watching, and it's, okay, what stories do I need to talk about? And they just drilled Brett Favre down your throat on everything, man. And so it was for him, will he or won't he retire? Is he going to leave the Packers? What's going to happen there? You knew that the relationship had spoiled there, and Aaron Rodgers was going to be the guy. But then he goes to the Jets and sends a girl a hoo-ha pick and does all kinds of crazy stuff, you know what I mean? And then that doesn't work out. Then he finally leaves the Jets and goes to the Vikings, and now we're like, okay, now we're cooking a little bit. But Bounty Gate got him, man, so what do you do?
Ichiro Suzuki to Seattle.
That was a big one. I don't know if I look at that as, like, I almost look at players coming over from Japan as free agency, as more like drafting than I do free agency signing. And a lot of that may be because well before we had players coming from Asia to the U.S. for Major League Baseball, we had NBA players coming from Europe to the NBA, and they would get drafted in the draft. So I guess I've always kind of equated it with that, but Ichiro was a massive one, you're right.
Oh, how have we left this one out? Anniversary or annual day, I guess is what we should call it, a couple days ago. Bobby Bonilla. New York Mets. I mean, for him, that's the greatest free agent signing he ever did.
Every year, Tyler Ivins gets 200 text messages from people talking and saying happy Bobby Bonilla.
And he's always quick to point out, and he's right. You know, baseball, you know, there's a lot of deferred salaries out there. There's a lot of names.
Yeah, but didn't they give him an incredibly increased salary by making it deferred like that?
I think so. Yeah. I don't really have the numbers in front of me, but yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that was 2 days ago, and it's always fun to see him get so worked up. I hate that he was not working that day. Albert Haynesworth, Washington Redskins, didn't work out, but he signed that massive 7 years, $100 million. Man, and it really, really didn't work out.
No, it really, really did not work out. The one, of course, that we're going to look at is Peyton Manning. I thought that the Peyton Manning move, one, it changed the public's view of Peyton Manning, because there was kind of a blowback on Peyton a little bit about that he couldn't win the big one or he couldn't get it done in the postseason, because the 1 year they did win the Super Bowl, he has 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So nationally, I think the fans, more so than the media, fans kind of ripped Peyton Manning a lot and about not getting it done in the postseason. And I do think that the way that the NFL itself treated Peyton made it opened up a lot of people's eyes to wait, like, okay, wait a minute. Everybody that's in free agency in this day and age, or some player, especially if they're an offensive player, there's a defensive player that comes out and rips them through the media in some way, shape, or form. Not Peyton. They all were like, come play for us. Like, we want you on our team. And I think that seeing the amount of respect that defensive players around the league had for Peyton Manning opened up a lot of fans' eyes, and so that criticism kind of went away at that point. And then once he won the second ring with Denver, it completely went away at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Peyton Manning, you're just proving that he still had something left, and not only something left, he had a whole lot left of good football. And again, it was just so awkward when he left the Colts, and you can't blame the Colts whatsoever. You know,
they had to make the move.
Yeah, they made the move. I mean, the guy had a serious neck injury, and he missed the entire season, and you didn't know what you were going to get out of him if you brought him back. And yeah, and again, tell me if I'm wrong, if it wasn't Andrew Luck coming up, they would have probably held on to Peyton and tried to make it work. Am I right?
I mean, yeah, no, probably so. Probably yeah. so. It's just a matter of when you got it. But, I mean, Andrew Luck at the time, look, Andrew Luck still
Andrew Luck could really, have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't retire.
Yeah, if he didn't have the didn't get crushed. Also made us realize how poorly that franchise was run, the Colts were, for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
And just how devoid of talent they were when you saw what they were without Peyton on that team, and they end up with the top pick. And then after that, seeing the way that Andrew Luck's body got broken because they refused to surround him with anybody or an offensive line. I remember one time Vince had on with him a beat writer for the Colts talking about Andrew Luck's situation, and he said, why don't, and he just asked the question that Vince did, the basic question we would all want to know, why don't they invest in the offensive line? And the guy said, yeah, no, it's like buying a Ferrari and parking it on the street instead of your garage. Like, yes, that's what exactly what it's like.
That's the perfect comparison.
That is a fantastic analogy. But, you know, but Peyton, like Tom Brady right now, that's a massive free agency move. But Favre, Peyton, Brady, those are dudes at the back end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The teams just decided to move on from either go younger or didn't want to keep paying him or were concerned that Father Time was going to catch up.
Now, can Tom Brady win a Super Bowl championship this year? He can, absolutely. Yes. But will he win one 3 years from now? No.
Absolutely. So, and I also think those two dudes hate each other, and that's okay. You know, Belichick and Brady, like they want to prove to the other one that they were the reason why the championships were there, and that's their prerogative. It's not often you see in the middle of their prime they decide to go somewhere. And the two that we look at with that, probably to me, come from baseball, and that's Bonds. And the one that that you've mentioned before, we've talked about this, was Greg Maddux, him going from the Cubs to the Braves, taking less to go to the Braves. But that Cubs team at the time, the Cubs in the 90s at that time, were, especially early 90s, were lovable losers. Somewhat recently had just put in, lights in. Otherwise, it was day baseball, Harry Carey's half in the bag, up in the, singing Take Me Out of the Ball Game in the seventh. They didn't really need to pump any money into the franchise to try to win that much because people were going to show up to Wrigley Field just because of what Wrigley Field was. And people were always going to buy Cubs gear just because the Cubs were so likable. And so if you're Maddux and you wanted to ever win anything in your lifetime, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And so for Maddux, he decides to join what might have been the best rotation in baseball, period. And so the best rotation, maybe the best rotation in baseball, gets who at the time might have been the best pitcher in baseball and who later on would become without question the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, he went on to win two Cy Youngs with Atlanta, won a World Series championship, played in three more, I believe, maybe four more. Can't remember. They were the team. I mean, team of the 90s, and so and a big reason for that is because of Greg Maddux and what he brought to that rotation. I mean, when you have John Smoltz as being your three, I mean, is that now? Yeah. I was a babe. I mean, I wasn't alive for some of it. Was John Smoltz the three? I mean, it went Maddux, Glavine, Smoltz,
yeah,
Avery, right?
That was it. Yeah, that was what it was.
Absolutely
did he
incredible
there for a time as well.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. So. I believe the deal that I saw earlier was like 5 years, $27 million. Incredible. And he had a $34 million deal to go play for the Yankees. The Yankees turned it down, went to Atlanta.
Yeah, it took less to be able to go there to join what was already a team that was in good shape, and it made it in particularly great shape. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. Star Bench Cut is next. Starting lineup on the Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
64 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Will West, Eric Kane, starting line of 99.1, the Sports Animal. Hopefully everybody's enjoying a little bit of water today. Unlike us, most of you don't have to work out there today. Get to be able to enjoy the day off with your family this weekend. So probably get a lot of family time earlier on during the quarantine. Yeah, sometimes you can miss that, though, when we haven't gotten it since everybody's kind of gone back to work. So it's cool for everybody to kind of have that day. Most people to have a long weekend and things like that before we get back to the grind on Monday. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. 656-9900 is your phone number. Time now for Start Bench Cut.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Whoops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty. Locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market. Where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, well, best summer sports, start, bench, cut, baseball, NASCAR, golf.
I will start baseball, I'll bench NASCAR, I will cut golf. Golf is a European sport. It is. So it is. Oh, I'm not trying to rip it. Nothing against golf. I like watching Lynx golf, too, so I'm not ripping the Europeans by any stretch of the imagination. I'm going to start baseball. It was the national pastime, so for the summer, that's the thing that I think about because that's what we always played growing up in the summer. Going to NASCAR races with my dad, my Uncle George, God rest his soul. So because of that, I'm going to bench NASCAR, and I will cut golf, although the big events are held in the summer.
I mean, for me personally, which is how we do answer this, that's the correct order. Baseball, you're going to start, you're going to bench NASCAR, you'll cut golf. However, if you're answering for the general public, it would probably be starting baseball, benching golf, and cutting NASCAR.
It depends on what it is, like what the race is and what the golf event is. I mean, for the majors, it's going to be start golf, bench baseball, cut. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
cut NASCAR. For the rest of them, it's like start baseball, bench both NASCAR and golf. Really, yeah. It's, you know what I mean, when you look at the rest of the television.
Back to back races at Pocono not doing anything for you?
No, it's not. Right? Not by any stretch of the imagination.
On this day in 1883, author Franz Kafka was born. A best way to consume literature: read the actual hard copy of the book, audiobook, or read it on a device.
I'm going to start doing the actual hard copy of the book. I'm still a hard copy of the book guy.
Gosh, man, you are so old. Showing your age. Here we are. Yeah,
that is. I'm sorry. I'm going to read the hard copy of the book. It's just easier. It's good to unplug yourself. It's good just, like, from a mental health perspective to unplug yourself from the devices. I know they have, like, the Kindle Paperwhites and stuff like that now.
Yeah.
But it's good to just not have your eyes on those screens just for a little while. So I'll start that. I'll bench the audiobook, and I'll cut the device. I've never owned a Kindle, so that is part of it, possibly. But whenever, I guess I've got a Kindle membership or whatever, but I'd never use it, so... I'm not going to read it on my phone or on the iPad or anything like that.
Okay, so you're going to start reading the hard copy of the book. I love that. I hate reading stuff on devices. I'm not a now I'll read articles on my phone, but as far as reading a book on a device or my phone, I'm not about that at all. So I'm like you, man. I love the hard copy of the book. Give it to me. And when I go to remotes, I print out. I mean, I'm a mixture of like John and Jimmy, and then you and Josh, I have hard copy papers, and then I have computer stuff. And so I like a lot of hard copies there. So I'll start the hard copy. I will bench audiobook, although I'm not big on audiobooks, but I'm big on trying to make the most of my time in the car, so trying to learn something. And then I'll cut, read it on advice. Best thing to grill on 4th of July, burgers and dogs, steaks, or ribs?
For 4th of July specifically, it is burgers and dogs. That is the one that you go to. I think that there are clearly certain things that are grilled on certain days. Burgers and dogs for 4th of July, steaks for Father's Day. I think you do some barbecue or some ribs or something like that, for maybe some barbecue chicken on Labor Day. Or if you want to do that on Memorial Day, that's fine too. So but I'll start burgers and dogs, I'll bench the steaks, I'll cut the ribs.
Yeah, that's the correct answer, although it would be so... Actually, you know what? For the 4th of July, I think it would be so flipping weird to have steaks. Although, I love steaks. I just think it'd be so weird. So, I mean, you absolutely start the burger and dog. I'll probably bench the ribs. I'll probably cut the steaks for 4th of July. Okay. Yeah. But although I would take steaks over ribs any day. Start, bench, cut these 4th of July sports memories. Mets-Braves 18-inning thriller in 1985. You have the Richard Petty's 200th win back in 1984, or you have Lou Gehrig's speech, and that was in 1939.
Okay, go through that one more time.
All right, so you're going to start bench cut these sports moments on the 4th of July. You had an 18-inning thriller with the Braves and Mets, where the Mets came back and hit scored five runs in the bottom of the 18th to beat the Braves. That was in 1980. You had Richard Petty's 200th win. That was in 1984. and you had Lou Gehrig's speech in 1939.
I'm going to start Richard Petty, the King, getting 200. I'm going to bench Lou Gehrig. I'm going to cut the Mets Braves.
I think you definitely cut Mets Braves. Gehrig's speech, you know, I consider myself the luckiest man alive. You know, absolutely, you got to start that 100 days of the year. So you start Lou Gehrig, you bench Richard Petty, because that's obviously he's one of the best to ever do it in that sport, and it was a milestone victory, and then you cut the Mets Braves. All right, so what's more patriotic? Start, bench, cut, baseball, apple pie, or Ron Swanson?
Ah, there you go. Now we're getting to some decent questions here, Kaner. I'm going to start baseball. I'm going to bench Ron Swanson. I'm going to cut apple pie. I don't like apple pie. It's fine. I'm fine with apple pie. I'm just not a huge fan. So start the baseball, bench the old Ron Swansonator, and then we'll go with the we'll go with the apple pie last.
That is correct. I tried to do TV. I spent like way more time last night at 11:30 at night than I should have, trying to find TV characters that were very patriotic that could rival Ron Swanson, because I was going to have a TV, like a sitcom character of patriotism. Couldn't be done. Couldn't be done at all. So the only thing that could rival Ron Swanson in terms of being patriotic is apple pie and baseball. So you start baseball.
I've got to tell you, Ron Swanson, he normalized libertarianism, I think, for a lot of people in the United States of America.
Yeah, that is true. Start baseball, bench Ron Swanson, and cut apple pie. Last one, start, bench, cut these patriotic songs, courtesy of the, which you might not even know.
I don't know this song at all.
Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue by Toby Keith. Do you know that
song?
Never
heard it. Nope.
God Bless the USA, Lee Greenwood. We've already played that. And Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I will start God Bless the USA, Lee Greenwood, because that dude would come out in some like dark blue Wrangler jeans that had no movement in them whatsoever, some cowboy boots and like a red, white, and blue button-up shirt that he had tucked in, and he'd just belt it out for you. And a lot of people get sick of singing that one song. It never seemed like Lee Greenwood got sick of singing it. So start Lee Greenwood, I'll bench Springsteen, bench the Boss, I'll cut the Toby Keith, because I literally don't know what it is.
Okay, so American Soldier and Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. That's your homework for after the show. Those are okay. Two Toby Keith okay. songs that you've just not had any clue about this morning.
No, I have literally, there's that I Love This Bar song. That is literally the only Toby Keith song I know.
That's a good song. That used to be my ringtone when I was in middle school. When like my very first cell phone school. Ever when I shared a phone with my sister. She was like, what is this garbage? You know? All right, now kids get phones when they're five. You start God Bless the USA, Lee Greenwood. You bench Born in the USA, Springsteen. And you cut Toby Keith's Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. Also, Brian Rice, I believe, hates Lee Greenwood. I could be wrong, but anyway, I'm going to bump into the crossover with God Bless the USA.
Here's this thing with Brian. It seems like Brian's being petty, but then when you get him to tell the story, usually with Brian's pettiness, usually you're like, you know what, actually, I buy that. That makes sense.
That's a good way to describe it, because so many times just like, Brian, just stop, man. Like,
that's so petty. Yeah, but there's always a story behind when Brian does it. So it's not like he's just arbitrarily being like, I hate Lee Greenwood. I'll fight Lee Greenwood in an Arby's parking lot right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's not Bryce necessarily.
He's not trying to be grumpy cat, but, you know.
That is Star Bitch Cut is brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyDocs.com, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're especially incredible when it comes to property management. Treating your property as if it's their own, maximizing your investment value. That is Heritage Realty. We'll come back with the old grumpy cat himself, B. Rice, on the other side. It is the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Boise State baseball, swimming and diving teams were cut yesterday due to financial effects of COVID-19. The university anticipates saving $3 million with the move. The Broncos had just brought back the baseball program for the 2020 season after being discontinued in 1980. FedEx, who holds naming rights to the stadium in which the Washington Redskins play, requested the team change its nickname. FedEx paid $205 million to the organization for naming rights for the stadium in 1998 in a deal that runs through 2025. FedEx chairman and CEO Frederick Smith also owns a minority stake in the team. Elsewhere around the league, in an effort to combat COVID-19, NFL teams are likely to bring fewer than the regular 90 players to the start of training camp. The NFL players are believed to participate in the upcoming season under several coronavirus-related restrictions on and off the field that could include specially designed face masks and potential fines for off-field activities that could lead to the spread of the virus. Tennessee running backs coach Jay Graham has been hit with a six-month show cause by the NCAA for penalties committed while a member of Jimbo Fisher's staff at Texas A&M. Graham, who has already served minor punishment while still with the Aggies, has been banned from all off-campus recruiting activities for the fall contact period in 2020. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. We'll cross over with Brian Rice of the Eric Gaines Show when we return. Good Friday morning, everybody. I'm Eric Gaines.
They both tried Jimmy Hyams' gumbo, and honestly, it was pretty good. Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston.
Brian Rice's walk-up music for his time at Catholic High School being played right now. It is the starting line of 99.1, The Sports Animal. Is B. Rice on the line with us yet? Do we have Brian Rice there?
Yes, we got B. Rice. Hey, Brian, you are not a fan of Greenwood,
so,
right?
So you don't like Lee Greenwood, I'm told.
Well,
do you love America?
Yeah, I love America. Was it this past year that he performed at Neyland or the year before? Whichever one it was he's lost a couple steps.
The fastball not still there, is that what you're saying?
No, fair enough. The other pitches are anyway, I know a lot of people like him, so I'll stop. I missed you calling me Grumpy Cat, though. The water is out on our street, and I was outside talking to the First Utility District guys. Ooh. So shout out to them for working hard and for telling me that they listened to the Eric Gaines Show. So
hey,
salute. That's awesome.
There you go. Yeah. So, but usually here's the thing, Brian. I did bring this up on the air in your defense. Okay. When you're being petty about something, usually there's a story behind it. And once you hear the story, you're like, oh, okay, that's fair. I get that.
I at least respect the petty.
Yes.
Now that's fair.
Okay, Brian, I'll ask you this. The Jay Graham news coming out yesterday, how big, a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a deal is this?
Like a 2. I agree. You know, recruiting thing, and apparently it was making a contact with a prospect at a high school before you're allowed to. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, that's happened at every high school with every coach that's ever gone on the road. So they got caught. Jimbo Fisher got caught, and they had to kind of throw somebody under the bus. So he threw under the bus the guy that left.
Yeah, so it's... Yes, and if you don't know, the NCAA did not name the former assistant that's no longer there. Texas A&M is the one that made sure that they named.
They rushed to their sources to say, hey, it was this guy.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Am I wrong to look into this and say this was the NCAA telling Jimbo Fisher? Because bump rule happens all the time, right?
Yeah.
Everybody does this. Everybody does both of the things A&M got hit for. I know that there is a mutual friend of ours that once told me, whenever you see something like that happen with the NCAA, that means that this is catching Al Capone with mail fraud, and they're letting them know, hey, clean it up or we're going to shut you down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jimbo Fisher has had an adjustment to recruiting in Texas. Now, he's recruited at a very high level. But just like Charlie Strong did and never adjusted to it, there are coaches in Texas that require a little extra attention, and they don't care if that extra attention is within the rules or not. And it catches up a lot of coaches that want to recruit in Texas, but it catches up particularly coaches of in-state schools there. You play the game, and... if you're playing the game a little too much, the NCAA is going to say, all right, we know how Texas works, but you're a little over the line, so clean it up.
Yeah, so we'll see what Jimbo – I also think that the NCAA doesn't want another Florida State to happen. With the way that he left Florida State, I don't think the NCAA wants Jimbo Fisher to leave Texas A&M in the same type of shambles.
Yeah. I think a little oversight, or at least the appearance of some oversight.
Yes. Look, this is your warning shot, Jimbo Fisher. You can choose to heed it or not, right? Yeah. Okay, we're also, tomorrow is the 244th anniversary of the greatest free agency move of all time, when the U.S. left the Great Britain to become their own agent, their own nation. If I just said somewhat word association, biggest free agency move in sports history, who is it?
Oh, you know, we knew it was coming, but LeBron has got to be up there. LeBron to the Heat. You know, the decision and all of that, that's a big one. It wasn't shocking, so I don't know that putting it in that category is right. But, you know, it's the first time that an NBA superstar like that had really moved like that, unless you consider Shaq. But, you know, Shaq was not shocking, because it became clear that Orlando wasn't going to pay what they thought he was worth, or what he thought he was worth, and what everybody else in the league thought he was worth. If you've ever seen the documentary on Shaq and Penny Hardaway, the disrespect that Orlando showed Shaq was completely understandable for why he bolted. So that's another one on the list, but I'm going to go LeBron, because even though we saw it coming, that was the first time a player of that magnitude, in my memory, had just moved teams completely.
I actually thought that once he, like, booked the decision and we saw this was going to be on ESPN, I thought, well, there's no way he's leaving his home state. Like, there's no way you're leaving home and you're going on national television to tell, and with the whole world watching, to tell your home, say, hey, I'm leaving, right? So I honestly thought, I remember the day of it, we had John Wilkerson on, Josh and I did, and we were like, all three were like, there's no chance he's doing this on national television. Like, if he was thinking of doing the decision and he's leaving Cleveland, somebody would have, some friend of his would have looked him dead in the eye and said, this is a horrible decision. So there's no way in the world that he's leaving. And sure enough, he left. And it was understandable, and we should have known, because of the reporting from Stephen A. Smith at the time, that this was going to happen, we should have been aware that this was all going to happen. But I was absolutely floored that he did that. And also, if you remember, Brian, it changed what everybody thought of LeBron James, because that dude was beloved. He was a guy that never got in trouble. He was soft-spoken. He wasn't brash. There was no – and you got to remember, this is coming out of the Jailblazers era, and you know what I mean? And the boring San Antonio Spurs. LeBron was an exciting player who passed up the good shot to get the great shot, who got his teammates involved, and we're used to seeing superstar players that are ball hogs at that time. And so LeBron was kind of a breath of fresh air when he came in, and then he does the decision, and we all became Dallas Mavericks fans 1 year later, like no one's ever been the fan, never jumped on a bandwagon before.
Yeah, you know, but he did it for charity. He wanted to raise money for the Boys and Girls Clubs, and I don't think that was messaged quite as well as it should have been by his people, that, hey, we're going to do this big thing, and that doesn't mean he's going to pick or stay or whatever, but he wants to raise money for an organization. He sees a way to do it, and I don't think he would have been as much of a villain if that had been pushed out as much as it should have been. But, you know, he moved, and that was going to make everybody mad in Cleveland. He came back, won a championship. Everything worked out in the end.
Yeah, so wasn't it also, I think he raised $80 million literally that night, and over the course of, because of the program he started in, like about $200 million for Boys and Girls Clubs around the nation. Like,
yeah, which did
incredible.
A lot of good.
LeBron's probably done as much good as any athlete we've ever had in my lifetime anyway. But, man, he went on national television to say he's leaving his home, and the whole nation just turned on that guy like Ric Flair with a steel chair right in the back, man. It was absolutely ugly. Also, I don't know if you saw the SI piece about possible, I guess, pushing for unionization in college football, not this time like it was with Northwestern about compensation, but because some things that coaches have said to players, about, according to the National College Football Players Association, about COVID-19, with three different guys pretty much being told, yeah, we're using you guys as guinea pigs to see what the students are going to look like later on.
Yeah, and I get that. I just, you know, when you look at athletes, they know that these workouts are not mandatory, or are mandatory but aren't, but also there's not an athlete out there that's playing football or men's basketball this year that doesn't want to be there. You know, nobody's doing it against their will. I understand the point of the piece, and I understand, you know, wanting this push to wanting athletes to unionize and wanting them to take on kind of a minor league sport feel. That's not what a lot of the athletes want. And every time we get into stuff like that, you know, they would love to make some money signing autographs, which is why the name and the likeness, the Olympic model type deal is best and is probably going to end up happening in that fashion. But most of the athletes like the deal that they have. And if they didn't feel like coming back was in their interests, then they probably wouldn't. But they also, I think, recognize the very real reality that they are probably safer here than they are in their own, in their homes trying to work things out that way. You know,
well,
trying to
ride coming from Florida,
out.
Right?
Exactly.
Guys, yeah. If you're coming from Florida or Texas right now, you're much better off at Tennessee or Georgia or Ole Miss or somewhere like that.
Or you trying to ride it out at home where you don't have nutrition, you don't have doctors, you don't have people taking safety protocols for you every day. I mean it's a very real thing.
Yeah, the one thing that I actually took away from the piece wasn't, well, there needs to be a unionization. Our union, they need to unionize. I took away from it, we don't have enough centralization of rules in college football.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's something that we really need to look at, is we need somebody to be the oversight in college football, because, again, not all coaches, but a lot of coaches, not just Chip Kelly, but also including Chip Kelly, clearly can't be trusted to be the one that oversees these players and these campuses right now.
Yeah, we need a czar over every NCAA sport, one of football, yeah, one of basketball, and try to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, and I think that would clear up a lot of these issues that they're talking about without a need to go to a union or anything like that. What's coming up on the EA show with Brian Rice later, Brian?
We'll talk a little Jay Graham. We'll talk a little bit about a situation at Vanderbilt that's disturbing. And in the 10 o'clock hour, we will draft our best of the 2010s on defense. That's next.
All right, EA show with Brian Rice. Coming up next, starting lineup 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Is everything.